news today, oh boy.
It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
President Joe Biden has had no problem reversing policies that were instituted by the former guy. He even did some on his first day in office. But undoing the deal the orange one signed with the Taliban in February of 2020 had little wiggle room to get out. This according to National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan. He answered questions in a press briefing on Tuesday, and he said renegotiating the agreement would have led to an onslaught of attacks on U.S. troops. Some of Trump's advisors have said that the 2020 agreement should not have been honored. But the orange guy went on the Fox channel Tuesday night, spoke to his friend Sean Hannity about the deal that he cut with the Taliban and its de facto leader, Abdul Ghani Baradar, who arrived in Afghanistan on Tuesday for the first time in more than a decade. He had been in jail until Donald Trump negotiated for his release.
We had a great deal. We worked on it very hard. Mike Pompeo, a brilliant guy, and many others worked on it endlessly. Meetings with the Taliban. Of course, you have to meet with the Taliban. They're the ones that you're negotiating with. I spoke on numerous occasions to the head of the Taliban, and we had a very strong conversation.
To who?
To Mullah Baradar, who is probably the top person. Now, nobody really knows who the top person is, but I would say that's probably the top person. But I had a very strong conversation. I also had a good conversation with him. We talked for a while after that. That was the primary point I was making, and he understood it.
And now Baradar is in charge. Wow. The United States is now focused on getting thousands of Afghans out who've helped us over the past 20 years. The Taliban have allegedly agreed to provide safe passage to the airport for civilians who can come to the U.S., but no one knows how long the group will stay cooperative and what actions they may take against people who remain in the country. Taliban leaders have said they will provide blanket amnesty for all of Afghanistan as they establish their new regime. But U.S. officials and some citizens, well, don't necessarily trust them. In the few days since the Taliban took control of Kabul, women have reportedly stayed indoors for fear of their safety. Democrats in charge of three Senate committees are vowing now to hold hearings on the U.S. military withdrawal, showing that the Biden administration is receiving very little cover from its allies in the Capitol. Stay tuned. So Congress is out on recess, but there's still work being done, including negotiations over police reform, one of the many pieces of legislation working its way through Congress. Now we learn that one of the biggest issues is no longer up for debate. That issue being qualified immunity. That's what shields police officers from civil liability when they do something wrong. It's remained one of the main points of contention in the police reform negotiations, and now it's being taken off the table. Why? Republicans have been firm that they have no interest in getting rid of qualified immunity. Then why bother? Moving on to COVID, what's bad is getting worse. And in Texas, the governor has tested positive for COVID-19. Governor Abbott, who is fully vaccinated, actually even got the third booster shot, says he's not experiencing any symptoms, but is isolating at the governor's mansion. Well, no wonder he's experiencing no symptoms. He got three shots, and now he's also getting a treatment of Regeneron, the monoclonal antibody treatment that the governor of Florida is shilling for. Seriously. I hope the sheen from DeSantis is beginning to fade as people get a glimpse of his mini-Trump shtick. His latest is a doozy. DeSantis has been flying around the state in recent days promoting the drug Regeneron and setting up monoclonal antibody treatment sites in three different counties around the state. Note that the treatment is expensive. One treatment costs the government more than $1,000, while a vaccine costs about $25. And it's not very simple to administer either. It's done with an IV infusion. And no vaccines are offered at those sites. And of course, DeSantis's order banning mask mandates is in full effect. Huh? Well, now we know why he's doing this. His top political donor, a guy named Ken Griffin, the CEO of the Chicago-based hedge fund Citadel, has invested nearly $16 million in Regeneron Pharmaceutical. Of course he has. The same guy also donated almost $11 million to support DeSantis through his PAC. Follow the money. Meanwhile, today's the first day of school in Broward County, Florida. Now, on Tuesday, the Florida State Board of Education voted unanimously to, quote, take all legal steps to investigate and take action against the Alachua and Broward County school districts because they imposed mask mandates in violation of DeSantis's order banning them. And the board threatened again to penalize the counties by withholding state funds. The Biden administration has already said they would step in and make the districts whole. Unbelievable. And if you're sitting here bitching about having to wear a mask or being told to get vaccinated, check this out. New Zealand, the country that probably did the best in stopping the spread of COVID, is under lockdown again. New Zealand Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern announced Tuesday that her government was imposing a national lockdown. This after they confirmed the country's first COVID-19 case since February. One infection, and they're shutting down. Ardern said authorities assumed the infection was caused by the highly infectious Delta variant. The patient, an unvaccinated man, tested positive in Auckland, but had traveled around the country. Under this lockdown, people must stay home for 3 days. All businesses except those deemed essential, like supermarkets and pharmacies, must remain closed. The last time the country was under a level 4 lockdown was a year ago. One case and they shut it down. We could learn a thing or two from our New Zealand friends. Here at home, the TSA announced that it will extend the federal transportation mask mandate through January 18th. The policy had been scheduled to expire on September 13th. But the FAA said on Tuesday that there have been more than 2,867 cases in which passengers have violated the mandate. The skies are not so friendly these days. And if all that's not enough, Tropical Storm Grace is headed toward Mexico today, threatening to bring with it hurricane-force winds, deadly riptides, and up to a half foot of rain. Grace is expected to reach hurricane strength by Wednesday night and could strengthen even more by the time the center reaches the eastern Yucatan Peninsula. This is a storm that already passed over Haiti as that nation is trying to recover from the devastating 7.2 magnitude earthquake just the other day. Along the eastern coast of the United States, Tropical Depression Fred is expected to bring flash flooding to the Carolinas. And there are other disturbances threatening out in the Atlantic. And on the West Coast, a new wildfire exploded in California, tripling in size in one day. The Calder Fire, burning in El Dorado County, has already burned more than 30,000 acres and is 0% contained. I wish I had an upbeat story to leave you with, but I don't. This is life in 2021. I got the And that's just a bit of what's news for now. I'm Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate these reports and The Nicole Sandler Show, I hope you'll consider making a contribution. My work is fully listener-supported, and I can't do it without your help. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com, and please click on that donate button.